Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Yes, sir. It is The Odd Couple on Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker along with, yes, Martin Weiss in for Chris Broussard. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. It is a Worship Wednesday. We got a lot to do, a lot to get to, a lot to unpack and dig into. Chris Broussard did Dan Patrick this morning. He's taking the evening off. And tomorrow morning, Chris and I will do an Odd Couple version of the Dan Patrick Show right here on Fox Sports Radio. But let me welcome in my co-host for today. His name is Martin Weiss. What's happening, Martin?
Not much, Rob. I'm just thankful to Broussard for load managing right now. So that way I can get this opportunity.
And for people who have heard Martin Weiss on our show, he has a regular segment, Trolling or Rolling. What is that, every Thursday?
That'd be Thursday.
That's right, every Thursday. And before we get into it, I want you to know Martin Weiss and I go back to about 2014. And I've helped mentor Martin. Martin came out to L.A. With me. He was my producer at WXYZ Channel 7 in Detroit. And now he's out here, works at FS1, of course, here on FSR with the segment and all kinds of other stuff. So, Martin, welcome to the big time. How's that?
You know, I have to say, if you're going to go through that whole rundown, the first day I met you, just so America can know, I want America to know, the first day I met this guy, I'm in the press box at Comerica Park in Detroit, and he comes up to me and he says, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" More or less, right? So I introduce myself and he says, "Here's my number. Hit me up if you need anything." And then later on that night, I text him and say, "Hey, this is Martin. Just want to connect. Make sure you got me." He sent me a video that Rob Parker made, which, as you follow him on social media, you know he's a video maker. But yes, he sent a video of his highlights of his, at that point, I think, was it 30 years in broadcasting or 30 years in sports writing?
Yes.
He sent me his 30 for 30 highlight tape. I don't even know this man's last name barely. He sent me his 30 for 30 highlight tape. I just thought it was the most ridiculous thing that I ever experienced, and I'm glad you did it.
And you know why I sent it? Because you want to be in the business, you really want to, and I think sometimes people think you just appear out of nowhere and you haven't put in work and you haven't worked at small papers for no money. And I think it's an important story because people often, Martin, only see the finished product. They don't see all the other stuff. I think it probably put my career in focus to you, didn't it?
It definitely opened up a lot of eyes because I first saw you on ESPN. You know,
right.
The first time I did, I met you first on television and then met the actual Rob Parker. So it
exactly.
Definitely, I see your point. I mean,
At 24 years old,
it was like, what is this guy doing? But now right. It all makes more sense.
All right, we got let's welcome in the Odd Couple crew. Lee DeLapp is our producer. Don Brown is the engineer. He's from Detroit. Don Brown, ask him again. We'll knock it down. And yes, Mr. Steve DeSager is handling our updates today. So we have plenty of stuff. And Martin, I want to start with the Deshaun Jackson situation with the Philadelphia Eagles. And as most people know, Deshaun put out on social media a lot of anti-Semitic stuff. He wound up taking it back and apologizing. And, all kinds of stuff is now out there and people are trying to figure out. We have to assume, Martin, that there will be some sort of fine, maybe a suspension or something. Because remember, it is you represent the organization that you work for. People who talk about freedom of speech, they don't live in the real world. Freedom of speech, and you need to do your research and read your history, means that I could tell you that I don't like the government, and the government police are not going to knock on my door and put me in a cell because I said something about the president, or I said something about the Senate, or I said something about something going on in the federal government. That's the only protection you have.
Right.
When you work for other people, Martin, you have to. You can say whatever you want. That doesn't mean there's not ramifications.
Yeah, freedom of speech is not necessarily freedom from repercussion, right? And it's like, it's freedom from necessarily government punishment for the press. But this is all I've been studying in school for the last couple. Like, the First Amendment is allowed for the press, not necessarily football players. And the fact of the matter is, whether you want to talk about freedom of speech, whatever, this is something that DeSean Jackson was going to have to answer for, because at the end of the day, a 30-year-old man put on his Instagram page something that said, that started with a quote that said, "Hitler said," and ended it with, "Hitler was right." Okay? And at any point in time, there's certain people in history that we just don't talk about in revering ways, and Hitler's one of them. So
I don't get it. I'm still flawed. I mean, floored about how many people have used Hitler in conversation for people. I'm shocked by it, Martin. I don't get it. I don't know what. If you remember the late Marge Schott, if you could believe this at some point, and obviously it got her in hot water. Eventually, she had to sell the team. Baseball made her sell. But she once said Hitler was good in the beginning because he fixed the roads and the economy of Germany. I mean, can you imagine saying that?
Well, it's just a fact of the matter. There's some people in the history of the world who have done so much bad, it don't matter what good they potentially could have done. Like, no matter what you're trying to find, no matter what diamond in all the rough you're trying to find, it doesn't matter, because at the end of the day, it's just disrespectful to all the terrible things that these people did. It's like, if you're DeSean Jackson here, you can only really chalk this up to two things, and that's either anti-Semitism or ignorance. Now, if I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, I'm going to say, listen, DeSean, you're going to pick ignorance, and we're going to fine you, and we're going to give you all this type of diversity type training, the same way we did with Riley Cooper, 6 years ago, 5 years ago, whenever that was.
Now, you just mentioned Riley Cooper, and for people who don't remember, Riley Cooper was a white player who was at a country and western concert, Martin, is that right? And
I believe it was Kenny Chesney was the artist.
Yeah, Kenny Chesney. And he got into some altercation with a black security guard. And it wasn't like just he was talking about the guy he was in a disagreement with. He said something like, "I'll fight all you ends here," or something on that term. And for whatever reason, it came out. And the Eagles did not do anything other than I think Martin, he was fined or something. And
he was fined, and he had to go actually take some sensitivity training classes, the extent of which, right, I don't know about, but that did occur.
And from there, players, Michael Vick was one who stood up and didn't demand that. Now, if I was on that team, I probably would have said at that point, "Is he practicing today? Because if he's practicing, then I'm not practicing." And once Michael Vick, who was the star of the team, kind of backed him, I think the Eagles felt like they didn't have to do anything big time. You know what I mean? But now in doing that, Martin, here's the problem. Not only did Riley Cooper get to stay with the Eagles that year, he got a contract extension and a big money. Right?
They signed him to a 5-year deal after that. He didn't live it through, but they signed him to a 5-year deal.
But they gave him a big deal. And now here you are with DeSean Jackson. Obviously, what he said, the anti-Semitism and his comments are just terrible. They just are. And if he was on any other team, Martin, any other team that didn't have that Riley Cooper thing hanging over him, he probably would be released, and a team has a right to do it, despite it being his own opinion, and that you represent the organization. And when people do stuff, say, do, commit crimes, whatever you want to say, an organization has a right to say, we don't want those kind of people in our organization, and they have a right to move on.
They absolutely have a right to. I do wonder, though, if other teams, like, this is not, this is obviously a horrible thing to say, right? This is, you shouldn't say this, you shouldn't post it on your Instagram, which is apparently the same deal as saying it out loud. And you also shouldn't double down on it when people call you out on it. All of those things are true. But I have trouble with, like, I feel like the reason why DeSean Jackson would get cut for this is because he's 33 years old and slated to make over, I think, like $12 million next year. And it's just an easier situation. If Patrick Mahomes said this, well, obviously he hasn't said anything nearly like this, but if he had said something like this, I don't think he'd be in trouble at all. I mean, he'd be in trouble.
He'd be in trouble, but he'd have to work it out
in the public eye. But I'm talking
You just saw Drew Brees in trouble. I'm just talking about, it might not have been that they were going to release him, but he would have had the beating that Drew Brees got, who put in all those years.
But that's what I'm saying. But you never worried about Drew Brees' career with the Saints.
No, after, that wasn't
from that
it.
Moment.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying in terms of, like, if another football player had said this who was at the apex of his game and was at, I mean, time and time again, football has shown us that owners and general managers value the ability on the football field over everything else.
That's always been the case with everything. It's in entertainment. It's in sports writing, broadcasting. People who are very talented have a longer rope. You know that, right? And guys who aren't that good. So what is your gut? Do you think he'll get cut?
No, I don't think he'll get cut. I think he's apologized twice. I think the Eagles have made their statement, and the Eagles will probably force him to do some type of sensitivity training. And then people will wash their hands of it. I don't think it's necessarily right, but I think that's what will occur.
I think the only reason he's not getting cut is because of the Riley Cooper situation and the backlash that the Eagles will have to endure on why you turned the other cheek for Riley Cooper and you didn't do it for DeSean Jackson. That's the only reason he wouldn't be cut. Because all the other stuff you talked about, the amount of money he makes, he's 33, he's not the same player he used to be. It could be easy to move on from him, given what he said. But I don't believe it. I think that the Eagles have painted themselves in a corner, and they don't have a choice. I really don't. I would be stunned, because it would be hypocritical that they would do this in this situation, but when the shoe was on the other foot and it was Riley Cooper, they worked it out and they didn't release him. When you're a white player, you use that term, and you're in a locker room that's 70-75% black, that's usually not going to be a comfortable situation for you, but somehow it worked out.
Well, I mean, part of the reason, and Mike Vick has alluded to it since then. He said, part of it was Mike Vick came out and said, like, "Look, I know Riley. I'm paraphrasing, but I know Riley. I know his heart. That's how all apologies go these days." And Mike has said, like, he didn't necessarily feel comfortable doing that, but felt that he had to. And I feel like that played a big role into why Riley Cooper was able to walk back into that locker room like that. I don't think that DeSean Jackson is necessarily going to have the same eyeballs on him that Riley Cooper did walking back into the locker room just because of the demographics of it. However, I don't think that excuses him saying what he said.
Go ahead. Finish your
point. About to say, I don't think that excuses saying what he said, but I also, like, if I'm the Eagles and I feel this strongly about it, I feel strong enough to make a statement about it, then I'll come out and say, you know what? Two wrongs did not make a right. We messed up in 2014. We messed up again in 2016 when we extended him. He's no longer here, referring to Riley Cooper. So, like, DeSean Jackson, we're not going to make the same mistake here. I don't think the Eagles necessarily would. I think if they came out and couched it in that way, people couldn't really call him hypocritical because they called out the mistake that they made initially.
Nope. In this climate, with what's going on in this country, Martin, I don't believe that the Eagles can do it. I don't believe that there would be hell to pay if they were to release him, given their history. And I think people will look at that. If they had gotten rid of Riley Cooper, I'll tell you one thing: black people couldn't have been pointing a finger at the Eagles saying, "Oh, this isn't fair. This isn't right." Because then they would say, Look at what we did back then. We don't tolerate that in our organization. Because Riley Cooper was allowed and got a pass, it shows you that they did tolerate it.
Now, let me ask you this. Does this change your opinion at all? Riley Cooper's incident was that he was drunk, or he admittedly had been drinking. He was at a country music concert.
That's true, sir.
Hold on. Now, DeSean Jackson, when he posted his post, it was under the guise of trying to educate, trying to learn. Riley Cooper was provoked, or Riley Cooper felt at least as if he was provoked by that security guard. Nobody came up to DeSean Jackson and was like, "Yo, you should post this right now. You should post this right now." He didn't think. I'm thinking that it was a level of ignorance. I don't think he thought that what he was saying was that bad. Does that change your opinion at all? Whereas Riley Cooper is saying the N-word to intentionally hurt somebody's feelings, whereas DeSean Jackson could just be ignorant here.
Anti-Semitic. It's like going into court and saying, "Oh, I didn't know that I was over the speed limit," or "I didn't know that there was a stop sign there," or "I didn't know." No, because it still came out of your mouth and it was attributed to you. You're not saying somebody put it there and you didn't say it. You said it. So there's ramifications with that. That's just the world we live in. But all right, it is the Odd Couple. Fox Sports Radio, Rob Parker, Martin Weiss, and coming up next. So Patrick Mahomes got paid, but even if he does live up to the contract, he'll never be proclaimed the GOAT. We'll explain that next. Keep it locked right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
It is The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio, the 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock hour, depending on where you're listening, and we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. So visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And you've heard me talk about it before. I'm into trying to get some fresh voices, some new black and brown voices on the national radio scene. So here he is, Mr. Martin Weiss, filling in for Chris Broussard. You've heard Martin on our show. He has a regular segment every Thursday called Trolling or Rolling right here on The Odd Couple and Fox Sports Radio. Martin, it will not be long before the NBA gets underway, under the bubble in Orlando. I'm calling it the Mickey Mouse Championship. But, there's a... with all the protests going on, everything that's happening in the country, the NBA is supposed to be woke, and they want to do something different and lend support with using the jerseys to put names on the back or saying on the back. And some people aren't that happy with the choices, and you just can't put anything on the back. I remember Chris said if it was his jersey, he would put reparations. That's what he would want. I do not believe that made the list. Where are you on the NBA and limiting the names and the sayings that you could have on your NBA jersey this coming season?
I simply cannot square the idea that these are supposed to be like social justice, free speech level of messages, and they're somehow... you have to get them passed through. You have to get them regulated in some form or fashion. Like, this is another example of how professional sports leagues, like the NBA and the NFL, which is a different conversation for another segment, but they're doing it as well. They're doing everything that black people aren't asking for, right? They're painting the floors with saying Black Lives Matter. They're changing the names on the back of the jerseys, when in reality the situation is, the people who were protesting in the streets, some of them NBA players themselves, like Russell Westbrook, DeMar DeRozan, you name it, there were guys out there who dribble ball for a living who were out there protesting against police brutality. And until the league addresses that, all of it seems just like an empty platitude to me. How are you going to say that you can have say their names on the back of the jersey, but I couldn't put George Floyd on the back of my jersey? Like, it doesn't make any sense.
I think that there is an issue because I do believe the league is going to put parameters in there and stuff. I understand what you're saying. And it's a big deal for them to even do that. Maybe they shouldn't have even allowed the players to do it and just put up stuff in the arena, Martin,
but see,
on the floor.
Rob,
I'm just saying, because
nobody was asking, nobody was thinking, you know what's going to solve the problems here? Let's put LeBron have a nickname on the back of his jersey. Nope, when they were protesting, that was not. When DeMar DeRozan and Russell Westbrook were walking the streets of L.A. holding up Black Lives Matter signs, they were not holding it up to change their names on the back of their jerseys. Like, I don't understand. Like,
It's a form. They think it's a form of support, and I do understand. You know that like they're being supportive. They're listening to their players. They're a league that isn't the NFL, who shunned Colin Kaepernick 4 years ago and ostracized him and told him to get lost, and he couldn't have a job. So the NBA is trying to say we're listening to our players. Obviously, the Players Association had to be involved in this, Martin. It can't just be Adam Silver and a bunch of white guys at the NBA office,
well,
you know. So
honestly,
this just has to come from, part of it has to come from the union.
Well, and part of it, I would blame the union as well, because this is a half step. Like, for me, especially when you have, and I know people don't take women's basketball seriously, and that's something that they got to look in the mirror for, but there's, Maya Moore just got Jeremy Irons out of prison. She gave up her career playing basketball to go get a guy out of prison. Prison reform, that's a form of caring for black lives. There's four different WNBA players who have opted out of their career dreams to go and act in social justice measures. If the NBA really wants to do something, we should be supporting them. Everybody should know those four WNBA players who opted out, as opposed to doing these half steps. Like,
well, you also got to remember, but when you say half steps, it is a business. They're in business to make money. There's a playoffs. I'm being realistic. I get it. If you want to shut down everything and just focus in on social justice and police brutality and not play basketball until the world's changed and fixed, good luck. Because there's all kinds of other stuff that has to be done in the meantime. So I get your point, but I do think that's not their main focus, even though it's a part of it and a part of being involved. But there's still a business to run.
And I completely I'm sympathetic to that, honestly, and understand it. So I would not do it at all. I would not get involved in. If I was the NBA. Like, officially, would not take a stance. I would allow my players to do it, and then let the public mitigate it out as it is.
I don't think the NBA could do that because of where we are. This is a different time. Come on, Martin. They're changing the name of Aunt Jemima, and I mean taking off pictures and the Confederate flags come down and statues are being toppled all over, all kinds of stuff. You know, forever people were trying to get Washington's name in the NFL to be changed, and no movement, nothing was happening, and now we're going to see it done in 60 days. I mean, this is a ever-changing, ever-moving world we live in, and the NBA couldn't just take a, well, you guys do what you want and we'll sit over here. That's why maybe they're doing too much or trying to do too much in even allowing this to happen. But I'm not going to knock the NBA for doing it. My question is it cool to have parameters on what it is that they should have put on? And maybe if you had to have parameters, then maybe it's a bad idea from that standpoint.
Absolutely.
That you couldn't.
Because, I mean, what if somebody's social justice message was free Hong Kong? Then what? Right? Like it's just a whole deal about, like, it's incredibly hypocritical for the league to do it. And if I'm the Players Association, if I'm players who this really matters to, you're right. We are at a time where I grew up in Louisiana. I never once thought in my life that the Mississippi State flag will come down. It took two, and as soon as the SEC said, we're not playing championship games here, which they weren't going to play in any Mississippi anyway, you have to win them. But once they said, we're not doing that anymore, that state flag came tumbling down. Right now, you're right. We are in an unprecedented time, at least in my life.
We've never seen anything like this.
So my thing is here. Right now, if I've been alive for 30 years, so I've never seen anything movement like this now is the time to go all the way. Now, like, now is the time. If I'm the Players Association, I'm pushing as hard as I can, because eventually there's going to be some pushback to all of these things, and it's going to get louder and louder and louder. But until that day, I'm going to go ahead and try to get every advancement I can for people of color.
Yeah, but the only thing is, and you make good points, but it is a business. That's why they're down in the bubble. If this wasn't a business, what would they do? Right? Like it's easy for the Ivy League to pull all its sports and say we're not playing. They don't make any money off of it, right?
Well, I'm saying...
I'm just saying.
No, I get
there's
that.
Money on the table.
There's money on the table,
and
but
you
the
have
people
business
who are making
partners.
The money, the people who are making the money are the same types of people. The people who are... I shouldn't say making the money. The people who are the product that creates the revenue, right? So the players... They're the ones who are out there saying that this matters to them. And this is why the NBA is responding in such a way. So what I'm saying, if you're a player, like Kyrie, everybody made fun of Kyrie because he said, I'm not with all the systemic racism and BS. And that's why I didn't necessarily want to go to Orlando. But he's the only guy that's like even made some type of, I mean, Avery Bradley had it in his statement. He said
so did
that,
Dwight Howard. I mean, there were people who.
But I'm saying Kyrie is the only star of the league right now that made a point big enough to where, like, I just read the story Howard Bryant did about Bruce Maxwell in the Oakland A's organization back when Kaepernick took a knee. He wasn't a star. If people who, and that's why he was able to get blackballed. Kaepernick wasn't a star to the level of that he needed to, quote, be
and
to
I,
not
and,
get
and
blackballed.
And I do want to say this, when you say Bruce Maxwell, who was the catcher for the A's who did take a knee, tomorrow my Inside the Parker podcast drops. And we had his agent on, Lonnie Murray, who gave us some information that actually he was offered a deal by the A's. So that was interesting. But you can check that out and download the podcast tomorrow. That's Inside the Parker. She gives some sort of information about him. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Wasn't the A's deal, didn't he get offered the A's deal like a couple months ago?
He was offered a deal is the point that she came up with.
I got you. But at the time when he was released, there was nobody calling. He went to go play baseball in Mexico, right? But Kyrie Irving is not a player that they're going to do that to. If he has enough of a talent, he's enough of a level. And to be real, he's good enough friends with Kevin Durant to where he's going. They're not going to kick him out of the league. Or they're not going to – like, that's what I'm saying. Like, guys like that, guys like LeBron, guys like – who say they're social justice, to say they're Black Lives Matter, who say that they're this and they're that, and I understand it. It's really hard for me to accept that the players would accept it, or that the NBA would push this forward as a good idea for to have these nicknames on the back of their jerseys, when in the WNBA you have players who are actively sacrificing their careers
to go forth and do it. I'm not saying that the NBA
players should do it, but I'm just saying when you have WNBA players who are and the NBA players are doing this, it looks tone deaf to me.
Yeah, I think it's apples and oranges from the standpoint that they're giving up their salaries, and I'm not trying to belittle the WNBA and how much money they make, but they're giving up that. Most of them go to Europe, Martin, to make their real money, and the WNBA does not pay that much, and they're willing to sacrifice that. The NBA players are in a little bit different situation. I'm not saying that somebody couldn't follow that route. But I did want to say that Jaylen Brown of the Celtics and Mike Scott of the 76ers are the ones who have been the biggest as far as critical of the list. Brown called it disappointing, and Scott called it terrible and a bad list. If you were a player, Martin, and you weren't happy with the list, what would you put on your back? Would you just put your name and not take part in it, or would you still put something on it, even though it's not something that you would want from the list?
I would just, if I was a player and this really mattered to me, I would put my name on the back of my jersey, and I would use my media availability to tell everybody what I wanted to say.
Probably the best thing that you probably could do, yeah. Especially if you're not happy with the list that you have to choose from. To me, it would be hard to put something on and your heart's not in it.
That's the thing. It gets me, like professional athletes, there are people whose jobs are, like you and I, whose jobs are to chronicle whatever professional athletes say. Like, the idea that, you can't get your message out, or you need to have a words on the back of your jersey to get your message out, to me sounds it's disingenuous to me. It's a half step. It's not a real thing. It's not. There's no real change, or there's no real. It's something that feels really good. It looks great, but it's not. There's nothing substantive.
All right, Adam Silver voice concerned over the bubble. How much faith should we put into the NBA restart? We'll discuss that and much more. It's the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, Martin Weiss in for Chris Bouchard. Stick and stay, America.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Indeed, Rob Parker, Martin Weiss, Chris Broussard filled in for Dan Patrick this morning. We'll both be on the Dan Patrick, the Odd Couple filling in for Dan Patrick tomorrow morning right here on Fox Sports Radio. And right now we're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. And we're going to get into some NFL talk with one of those guys who knows a lot about the league, Andrew Bryant. Andrew Brandt, the columnist from MMQB. Sorry, Andrew. He joins us now here on The Odd Couple. What's happening?
Hey guys, good to be with you. It's always a busy time when there is sports, and it seems to be even busier this year when there are no sports because everyone's focusing on what goes around the inner workings of these leagues and teams and how things work. And it's been a nice time for me to kind of bring people behind the curtain and see what really goes into these decisions.
Well, Andrew, let's start, of course, you're talking about people talking because there's no games, but DeSean Jackson and the Eagles, obviously the anti-Semitic comments, he apologized, all kinds of stuff going on, people are talking about it, and the Eagles have a little bit of a history. They had the Riley Cooper situation, nothing bad happened, they didn't release him when he was involved in an incident using the N-word. Where are you on this? Where are the Eagles on this and DeSean Jackson? How does this all shake out?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because DeSean Jackson has had a couple of stints on the Philadelphia Eagles, as everyone knows, drafted by Andy Reid here during the Chip Kelly era where the Riley Cooper incident happened. DeSean Jackson was in that locker room and saw what happened and actually saw Michael Vick take up for Riley Cooper, which allowed him back into the fold.
Yep.
And here we are. Here we are. And what he did is abhorrent. It's vile. I just think that there's a lot of apologies going on, but, you know, this is not a 23-year-old anymore. This is a 33-year-old who's been around several contracts in the NFL, teams like the Redskins and what's going on there with the name. And he's got to be more aware. And that's, you know, I've been an agent for many years. I would not expect this from any client who's in his 30s. Just the lack of awareness. And it's almost like, you know, you don't know who Hitler is or you don't know saying...
Right.
Saying anti-Semitic things is wrong. So these are the kind of things the Eagles have to deal with. Okay, so I'm here in Philadelphia. I know Eagles management and ownership well. I know exactly what they're going through, which is, do we want to engage in this, what people would call cancel culture, and get rid of them? Where do we want to go with that? And there's get rid of them on one end of the spectrum. There's do nothing on the other end of the spectrum. And I think they'll be somewhere in the middle. I think the Cooper incident that I mentioned is a problem because anything in sports is about precedent.
Yes.
And they're hearing from DeSean and or his agent about Cooper. If there's threats about releasing him, if there's threats even about fining him, because Cooper had no discipline.
Was there no discipline? I didn't realize there was nothing.
My understanding is there was sending him out away for a few days. It was in training.
Sensitivity camp. Training?
And sensitivity training.
Right.
Which, again, people can roll their eyes at those kind of things. So my sense is the Eagles are doing what every organization does, is do the risk analysis. He's got guaranteed money. That's probably a factor. But on the other hand, they took a receiver number one, so that's a factor that they could live without him. So my guess is he is not released. He goes to sensitivity training. He learns, as everyone's learning in these last few months, and there is some kind of discipline in terms of a fine, maybe keeping away from the first few days of camp or something like that. But I don't think he'll be terminated.
Well, let's move on to a guy who's definitely not going to get cut anytime soon. Patrick Mahomes signs a 10-year contract with the reported up to over half a billion dollars, $503 million. And from what I've read from you, Andrew, this is a bad deal for Mahomes. Can you please explain to me how signing a half a billion dollar contract potentially could be a bad deal?
I'm getting that question a lot. I'm gonna stay away from the hot take, bad, winner, loser, good, bad.
A team-friendly deal. How could it be team-friendly is what I should have said.
Team-friendly because they have just signed the most precious asset in the National Football League for essentially his life in the NFL. And to me, that's worth gold and more gold than he got. First of all, it's $500 million if he hits every incentive, which he obviously won't.
Right.
And it's $470 million if he is there every minute for the next 12 years, which is not guaranteed. It's not Bryce Harper. It's not Mike Trout. It's not, pick a name, Kevin Durant, LeBron James.
Right. All that money, you're getting every nickel of that.
Right. So everyone can say, well, of course the Chiefs will never cut Pat Mahomes. And to that I would say, well, then if that was true, the agents would say, just guarantee it. Because
right.
And the Chiefs are saying, no, we won't, because we want that optionality. And when I heard 10 years or 12 years, my first question was, okay, what's the optionality? And let me explain that word. Does he have an opt-out, like LeBron, like all these basketball players? Does he have a way to get out? No. Does he have optionality with adjustment? In other words, when quarterbacks pass him by, which they will in the next years, can he adjust to that? No. Does he have optionality with cap percentages, as been rumored, even reported by Adam Schefter, that there were cap adjustments every year? No.
Wow.
So what he has is basically a few years guaranteed, like every good player, and then a series of one-year team options for the Chiefs. And if everything goes perfectly, he makes this number over 12, 13 years. If not, he doesn't. And I just think the real value in sports, from a business point of view, which is my expertise, is either reaching or getting close to free agency. That's where the pot of gold is. And Mahomes just gave that away. It's gone. He'll never be there. And I'll give you this last stat. Next 3 years, now these are the first 3 years of this massive contract.
Right.
He'll make $63 million. Teddy Bridgewater will make $63
million. Wow.
Jeez.
Ryan Tannehill will make $77 million. So right away, you look at those numbers, and it's, again, the power of what I said with free agency versus being under contract.
Andrew Brandt is our guest, of course, columnist from Monday Morning Quarterback, host of the Business of Sports podcast. Let's talk about Cam Newton. Cam Newton signed his contract officially today, 1 year with the Patriots. What are you expecting from him, Andrew? I know he's been banged up the last couple of years. A lot of people think that's Cam, the banged up Cam. He's not an old guy. Can he bounce back?
I think he can, and I think like you, like everyone, we're kind of rooting for it to happen in the Patriots. But, again, I get back to my expertise, the business of football. There was no business for Cam Newton. 4 months. 4 months he sat on the street. And the biggest indicator of what a team thinks of you is your contract. And he basically, I know the puffing again when we talk about these contracts, up to $7 million, he basically has a minimum deal. And when I hear minimum deal, I hear, well, the team can get out. You know, the team can get out. Like, if they don't think he's what they thought he would be in training camp, he's gone. The issue I have in New England is they have a guy named Brian Hoyer who is made and, like, the ultimate prototype for backup quarterback. It's been his life.
Right.
He's their backup. So Jared Stidham is either one or three. Cam Newton is either one or three, and maybe not even three, because Cam Newton as a three doesn't seem to make sense for anyone in my mind. So I just think that, you know, do they want to push Jared Stidham down the third string? Maybe. Or Cam Newton, it's just a look-see. We'll see.
Andrew, I wanted to ask you, because you gave out the 10-year contract to Brett Favre.
Yes, I did.
What are the biggest differences between Mahomes' deal now and the deal that you offered to Favre? And how does that feel to know that you signed a guy for that long of a period in time? Or like how did you feel when you, on the other end of that deal, not being the player, obviously?
You know, I think you want to hit the marks. And if you sort of drill down into these deals, what's the motivation? And let's start now. Motivation for the Mahomes side is obviously staying there in security, but that number you started this interview with, $500 million.
Right.
And back in the day, that number for the Favre, and there was Steve McNair, and it was Drew Bledsoe, that number was $100 million. And based on what the market
wow.
was looking
time,
like.
Time sure do change, huh?
Yeah. And Drew Bledsoe, I say that name, we just talked about Patriots, because he was kind of in my crosshairs doing that contract. We had to hit that mark. He got that whatever 10-year, $100 million, and so we did 10 years, $100 and something million, and that was the market back then, and that's where we had to hit it. And I felt like, okay, you know, we've got the what we thought was the best player in the league under contract for 10 years, worth a premium paying that, and happy to do it.
Andrew, the team in Washington is going to change its name. Looks like that. I know they're saying they have a committee. Once sponsors and advertisers get involved, it's almost a sure bet that it's going to be changed. Have you heard any behind the scenes about Daniel Snyder? He was outspoken. I remember his famous quote that it would never happen under his watch, and he said you could capitalize never to reporters. How quickly, are you surprised at how quickly this thing turned?
Well, I say this to you as someone who grew up, born and raised, diehard fan of that team, and actually grew up within a couple miles of a guy named Dan Snyder. And I didn't know him, of course, but we both grew up same era, same age,
wow,
diehard fans, and he went on to buy the team, and I went on to talk to you guys.
you got the short end of the stick, for sure.
But I never thought of it growing up as a racist term, of course. But things change. I do now. And I think maybe even he's come to that with a strong push, as you know, from Nike, from Pepsi, and most of all from FedEx, their naming rights partner. Money talks. And so I'm pretty confident this name is going to change. Here's what's really got me amazed. I'm hearing not only will the name change, but the name might change before the season.
Right, like, that's the shocking thing. It's incredible.
Because as a veteran of the league, I know how things move. It's like a freight ship turning in a small dock. You know, it takes forever. And now we've got to talk about by September. That's 2 months. I'm like, oh, my God, can they really do that? Because you got all the logos, the marks, the lawyers, the trademarks, the
yes.
And maybe we have some provisional situation for 2020 before it really goes into action next year.
All right, Andrew, we appreciate you. Andrew Brand, of course, read his column, columnist for the Monday Morning Quarterback, a great read. We all know that. We appreciate your knowledge. Thank you so much. And we'll see you down the road.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right. It is the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. Rob Parker, Martin Weiss, filling in for, of course, Chris Broussard. And yes, was Jim Harbaugh out of line by speaking for his players? We'll explain that and discuss it coming up next. It's the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.